It seems like we've hit a nerve or pushed a button of some sort because our lines started lighting up during the break. 833-288-0973. Why not? Let's let the tier ones have a say. We asked, you blaming Mike Schilt, you blaming Johnny Brito, you blame Ha-Sung Kim for yesterday's loss, a game they should have won. Would have been a great win. If they had won yesterday's game, would have been a great win. We would feel pretty good about the start. Not great, but 6-6, facing the Dodgers and the Giants mostly. You know, two teams that you expect to contend against for the playoffs this year. You would have felt all right about a 6-6 start. Different show this morning based on one ball being held in a glove that was already in a glove. It's very weird how baseball just plays with your emotions like that. And I see our tier ones want to talk about it. So let's go out to the phone lines here to start our 7 o'clock hour, and then we'll play some Take on Woods in a couple of minutes. But Steve is calling in this morning. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, you guys frustrate me a little bit. And
shocker.
It's like you guys are looking around up in the sky all over trying to figure out what's wrong with this team. I'll tell you what the number one problem with this team is Manny Machado. Okay. And nobody wants to see, you know, when I look at I've been watching every game too, and most of these guys are pretty much doing their job. The one guy on this team that's not doing their job is Manny Machado. I think he's 1-for-15 or something in the last four games. Crucial situations coming up, not getting the job done. Same problem last year. He's supposed to be the star. He's not. He hasn't been. He wasn't last year. He hasn't been this year. I mean, you guys keep giving him, you guys look around trying to figure out what's wrong. I can tell you if he just gets one or two hits out of the last four games, we win those games. So why don't we look at where the real problem is? In my opinion, most of the guys are coming through. Paul Parr is doing his job. Cronenworth's doing his job. Most of the guys are doing what they're supposed to do. Machado has been the bust. He was last year. He is this year.
So what
another point I want to make,
sure.
Johnny Brito is the Luis Garcia of last year. I felt that when he came in yesterday, and I don't know why he's still pitching.
Hey, Steve, what do you do? Because there's Abraham in the chat saying the same thing. I said it Friday. The dude's got to get it going. I mean, he's got to get it going. What do you do? What is your solution? When Manny Machado tells you, I'm good enough to play, like I'm healthy enough to play, what do you do? Do you send...
What I have done, and I said it yesterday before the game, I'd have sat him, okay, and put somebody else in and maybe use him as a pinch hitter or something. Something's got to change. You just can't keep putting him in the fourth spot and him not getting the job done over and over. It's like these stars, everybody's too – the manager's afraid – to mess with him at all, with the psyche or something.
For sure. And I agree with that. And I will say this.
Also,
I mean,
who are you going to put in there?
That's the thing.
You're
like,
going to put sugar in there?
So he had the single in the first inning, came around to score, right? Hit another ball 110 miles an hour. Barreling a little bit is a good sign. That being said, you're right, man. Like, he's not going to go 4-for-4 every night, but a 2-for-4 with a couple of ribs out of your cleanup spot is not a ton to ask for.
Steve is not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Manny's cold right now.
He's
not taking great swings. He's in a slump, as baseball players do at different points in the season. Manny is susceptible to, I think, a little bit more. His slumps are slumpier. His hot streaks are hotter than most guys. And for good or bad, if you want to go through the Manny hot streak, and you do, you know what it's like, Padres fans. You know what it's like when Manny is hot. He can put a team on his back and just be as absolutely dangerous as any batter. But you'll never know if he's just sitting on the bench every day. You can't wait and, you know, I mean, so you, Steve's idea was to bench him for a day. Fine, you know, you can give a guy a day up, but he's just back in the lineup tomorrow. You're not sitting Manny for a week,
right.
Just like how you have to keep him going out there to try to get him going. Because ultimately, you need your $350 million key, one of your core players out there playing almost every day. Sure, you can give him a day off, and maybe yesterday someone else would have come through, but the percentages say Manny has to be out there. Has to be out there 158 games.
I mean, is that crazy to say? Is that excuse making for Manny Machado, right? Like, I don't think that it is.
It's not. He's cold. He'd probably be the first to tell you that hasn't put good swings right now on the baseball, a lot of them. You know, he gets a couple of home runs and he could, you know, three good days and he'll be fine. But right now, he's definitely been part of the offensive problem. Kim has been part of the offensive problem as well. Kim, who is like everybody's favorite baseball player in San Diego, has had a really crummy start to the season for him after having a great year last year. And they are both part of the problem. Let me get Corey in here as well. Oh, no, he's going to be taking Woods. Let's go Ron, and then Corey will play some take on Woods in a second. Ron, welcome to Ben and Woods.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, buddy.
This is the Ron that Woods doesn't like.
Hey, guys. That doesn't narrow it down.
That's not fair. Maybe I don't like you as well,
yeah.
Ron.
I know. Probably not. Hey, guys, look. My kid calls me in the bottom of the seventh inning yesterday, and he goes, you know the Padres are going to mess this game up, right? You can just feel it. You can feel it coming. And the thing I don't understand is why Ha-Seong Kim, he didn't take care of the baseball on that tag. You have to make sure and take care of the baseball and not drop it like you're in high school learning your way. I mean, these guys are pros. The second thing is, I would like to see Ha-Seong Kim back up in the lineup spot.
Leadoff, you mean?
Bogaerts hits it. In the leadoff spot. And you know, you got to keep Manny in there. You got to get Manny his reps. The guy's going to come around. He usually does. And the other thing that really irritated me about yesterday is with first base open, why didn't he walk Chapman?
Yeah, I said the same thing.
He's been killing us.
Yeah.
He's been killing us.
He's been murdering us. Yeah, 3-1 fastball.
Chapman is not. No, Conforto's been killing
us.
Chapman's been ice cold. He's been slumping. He is in a massive slump until
he's killed us.
He wasn't.
Though. Yeah.
But the last week, he didn't, in the first two games, he didn't do anything, though. And he didn't do anything in their series before. So he had been slumping, and Tyro Estrada had gotten you on Friday. I mean, that might be part of the equation, and you got righty-righty there. We're going to have a lineup conversation later in the show today that involves Ha-Seong Kim and also involves Jackson Merrill and his position in the lineup, and we'll have some sound from what Mike Schilt had to say after the game, after Jackson Merrill's 4-for-4 performance. Are you getting the most out of him in the 8 or the 9 slot most days, or is it time to, you know, put more on Jackson Merrill's plate? And we will have that conversation. Again, you're not wrong.
This is Jackson Merrill.
Ha-Seong Kim needs to hold on to that ball. He absolutely has to hold on to that ball. Now, just like with the Manny conversation, what do you do? Do you bench him? I mean, you're going to find another Gold Glover to put in there? He won the Gold Glove last year.
He's a phenomenal
defensive player.
You don't have
someone better than him to put in there.
Nobody wants to hear that.
You have to ride with him.
Nobody wants to hear, this is what you have. You're not going to send Manny Machado down. I'm seeing this in the chat. Send him down.
It's not impossible, but even if it were, you wouldn't do it. You don't have anyone better. Your stars have to perform. Or you're going to have a crummy season if your stars don't perform. Now
it's maddening already. Well, how many games in are we?
12.
Maddening. It's maddening.
But in four games, they will be 10% of the way through the season.
Yeah.
It's not nothing. Still early, but it's not nothing. You start to get a feel for your team of what you got and what you don't have.
Bryce Harper started the year 0-for-11 or 12 or something. And then he busted out and hit a couple home runs. Like, they're not going to...
Manny will bust out at some point.
I think...
Always does.
I feel the same way. I mean...
I hope it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's...
And I think the real discussion is, until that time, does Mike Schilt need to change his order a little bit to maximize the guys who are hot right now? Or do you... You stick around with the guys where they are to keep everybody comfortable and keep the guys who are doing well.
Is that definition of insanity type stuff with a low-performing offense?
Remember, if you change everybody in the order, you could just as easily stop the guys from who are hot.
Right.
Like Jackson Merrill, all of a sudden, you know, puts a lot of pressure on himself, batting in the
three
in
or
the
something.
Two or three hole,
right.
And now he's not hitting the way he was, and now you've made yourself worse by changing the lineup, trying to make it better.
Listen, the only thing that solves any of this is to win baseball games, and that's the unfortunate part for all of us.
We'll have that discussion coming up later in the show today and hear from Mike Schilt about his lineup construction and Jackson Merrill in particular. Right now, though, let's get to another week of Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on
Woods. Woods.
All right, Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. And as I teased a moment ago, we have Corey as our contestant today. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
All right, let's get you qualified for the trip for two to Las Vegas at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino and tickets to Kool and the Gang residency by popular demand. They are back. Your tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. All right, here are the categories for Take on Woods today. Bring back Chow Time. Those are answers that include the word eat. Light and dark. Those are the two keywords in those song titles. And our new category, if you know, you know. And those are five song titles, including the word no, K-N-O-W. So, Chow Time, Light and Dark, and If You Know, You Know. Corey, what would you like to play?
Let's do If You Know, You Know.
If You Know, You Know. All right. This one might be a tougher one. We'll see. 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as you can. Then Woods goes. If you beat or tie him, we will put you into the drawing for the trip to Las Vegas. You can always pass if you don't know an answer. We'll come back to it. First question is the two-second song. Polly is queuing it up right now. You need to identify both the song title and the artist to score that point from the little clip. Corey, are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Polly, in your pitching ninja shirt, are you ready to
play? I am ready to go.
All right, here we go. 60 seconds on the clock. The category, if you know, you know. Corey, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
I want you to know.
Pat.
Gautier and Kimbra go back and forth in which bitter hit song from 2011?
Somebody that you used to know.
Correct. Saving All My Love for You, Greatest Love of All, in which other song with a question in the title all went to number one for Whitney Houston in her 1985 debut album?
Pass.
Which hit debut single from Norah Jones in 2002 is actually a cover of a 1999 song by Jesse Harris and the Ferdinandos?
Pass.
Which 2013 song was a breakthrough hit in the United States for the Arctic Monkeys and earned them a Best Rock Performance Grammy nomination?
Do You Wanna Know?
Do I Wanna Know? I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the song.
I want you to know.
I'll pass.
All right, you did get the two, sort of. It's Do I Want to Know, not Do You Want
to
Know, but I like to be generous. The song there was You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette. How Will I Know is Whitney Houston. How will I know if he really loves me? And then Norah Jones' song is Don't Know Why. But you got the other two. We'll see how Woods does with the same five questions. Let's bring him back in. He can't hear me. We're soundproof. So snapping...
Hey.
Snapping does nothing because he can't hear that. So we just have to wave our arms wildly until he recognizes us. I'm like snapping, thinking, but he can't hear us. It's soundproof. That's not going to help at all.
Hello?
Let's go. Let's go.
Sick kid at home. Go figure. Shocker.
Oh, man. Never ends.
Which one?
All right. Corey's score is locked in. We add to the difficulty for Woods, who's very good at this game, by not giving him the category. Let me get you there on the camera. All right. 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Corey.
I want you to
Alanis Morissette. Oh, God, I'll come back to it.
Gautier and Kimbra go back and forth in which bitter hit song from 2011?
Somebody That I Used to Know.
Correct. Saving All My Love for You, Greatest Love of All, and which other song with a question in the title all went to number one for Whitney Houston in her 1985 debut album?
Saving All My Love for You.
Greatest Love of All, and which other song?
I Will Always Love You?
No.
Oh,
which hit
mark,
debut
crap.
Single from Norah Jones in 2002 is actually a cover of a 1999 song by Jesse Harris and the Ferdinandos?
What? Come Away With Me?
Incorrect. Ah. Which 2013 song was a breakthrough hit in the United States for the Arctic Monkeys and earned them a Best Rock
Do I Want to Know?
Correct. Go back to our 2 second
you
song.
You Ought to Know. Alanis Morissette.
Correct. And Saving All... Oh, no, you already... That's it.
That one.
So we got three, but that is a narrow 3-2 win.
Ooh, God.
For Woodsy in the category.
A mess.
If you know, you know. It was a tough category. No was the You Ought to Know.
Ooh.
Somebody That I Used to Know. How Will I Know is Whitney Houston. Don't
How
know,
Will I Know.
And Don't Know Why is the other Norah Jones. You were right. That was her other big hit. But the Don't Know Why is the one with No in the title by Jesse Harris and the Ferdinandos. Had no idea. Never heard of them.
Me neither.
And I knew you'd get the Arctic Monkeys because you
love
the Arctic
Monkeys.
The Arctic
very
Monkeys.
Much.
So
very,
you did
very
get
much.
That one. And Corey, thank you for playing. You can try again later this month, but no qualifier for Las Vegas today.
Good job, though.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a well-played, tougher game, but well-played game. All right, we've got Don't Do This coming up next.
The San Diego Padres offense. No,
no, that's not fair. So I am, I actually thought this was a huge do this, but just for me, for everybody else, it would be a giant don't do this. And I'll tell you what I mean next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You're a dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, full transparency here. We were trying to come up with something here for Don't Do This. Was it going to be a draft, you know, possible draft pick, arrested? We get all kinds of stories like that. And they're fine, but this one is actually better. So during our break, JR,
about 30 seconds ago,
our fantastic engineer who keeps this place running, comes in and says, Woods, did you get my text on Friday? He goes, no, I didn't get it. You really need to change your LinkedIn bio. I got a big anniversary notice from you from my LinkedIn account on Friday. Congratulations on 6 years at the Mighty 1090.
It's been a hell of a run for me here, the Mighty 1090.
Your LinkedIn account has lasted much longer than the radio station now has.
It has. I changed it. I saw that because I kept getting DMs saying, hey, congrats on your work anniversary. What are they talking about? And then it says, Mighty, look, Ben and Woods, co-host, Odyssey, right?
It does, right, on your bio.
I hate LinkedIn.
I would say there's almost 100% chance that mine is wrong, too, because I don't go to LinkedIn at all. I have the account, but, I mean, I have thousands of connections, of which I don't know what I'm supposed to do with all those connections. I don't even know where. Sports director at KGTV. Well, that is still correct.
Well, yeah, that's been 20 years in the making or whatever.
Yeah.
This one.
That's because I set up my LinkedIn account a long time ago.
You like how you set up your LinkedIn account.
Never updated it with any of my radio jobs whatsoever. So
I don't know what to do. I changed it. It's not working. So at the end of the day, I don't really care very much. I was going to tell everybody, though, Ben, about the... I mean, this is a dumb... Right. When this happens, this is so dumb.
I'm looking... I think you've got it all set up right.
I thought I did. I know I'm a boomer.
LinkedIn is wrong.
LinkedIn is wrong,
and they get the don't do this then.
This is just the dumbest. These are the dumbest people when they do this, man. You know, the draft is coming up, Benjamin. T'Vondre Sweat is one of the top defensive lineman prospects in the draft class. He was arrested in Travis County, which is down in Austin. He went to UT. Got him for DUI. Right before the draft. He won the 2023 Outland Trophy winner. He's projected to be a second or third round pick in the draft later this month. And, he walked out of jail, had a towel and a face mask over his head. They asked him to answer any questions. He said, we're not talking about the incident. And it's just like, holy cow, man. The draft is, it's the biggest day of your life. It's what you've been working for. You want to be an NFL player. Not that it's going to, you know, it's only going to hurt him in the end. Will he still get drafted? Yes, of course. It's the NFL. Of course he's going to get drafted. probably cost himself a little bit of money and could have hurt somebody in the process.
I mean, you never know. I mean, this one seems legitimate, but it reminds me of a 2016. Remember Laramie Tunsil?
Yes, the weed mask.
He was supposed to go in the top like five.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he had the gas mask and the bong, and that came out like 10 minutes before the draft.
Literally 10 minutes.
He dropped
minutes.
To 13th. Now, it turned out to be a genius move because it's saved what I think the Dolphins got him. He's now the highest paid offensive lineman in football.
Yeah, it's not terrific. Necessarily the same, though, because while the video existed...
It existed. Somebody had it and they were sitting on it.
He got hacked or something and somebody posted... It's not like...
This is real.
Like, this guy went out and was driving drunk.
That's
like,
so dumb.
Can't do that.
Can't do it.
I have never thanked anyone for a don't do this before, but I have to thank Fred Warner of the San Francisco 49ers, Mission Hills High School, San Marcos, who was invited. You might have seen it before the Giants-Padres game. Opening day, Oracle Park on Friday. And he was invited, along with his teammate, Deebo Samuel, to throw out the ceremonial first pitch. Ben and Woods style. Out on the mound. They got out there with their Giants jerseys on. And I will say, Deebo Samuel threw a terrible first pitch. It was way off the target. But nothing compared to the one that Fred Warner threw, which if you're on our YouTube stream, you're going to see it in just a second. So you've got the two catchers, one on each side of home plate. Fred Warner spikes it so badly, it doesn't even get halfway there and misses on the opposite side of the wrong batter's box where it bounces across and goes all the way to the backstop. It is absolutely horrific. And makes my first pitch to Johnny Brito look pretty darn accurate compared to that one. Did you see that, Woods?
I'm looking at it right now on the YouTube feed.
And he throws about 20 feet straight into the ground.
Straight down.
Now they're,
and about 45 degrees to the left.
Now they're elite athletes.
They're elite athletes.
My God. All right. Well, listen. They're elite athletes. You're not. They are. But take great solace in knowing you threw a much.
Thank you to a good San Diego guy and Fred Warner for getting me off the hook for worst opening week ceremonial first pitch.
Matt Williams, he just watches it.
He doesn't even try.
Not even close.
Not getting that one.
This was fantastic. I saw this over the weekend.
DD Mega Doo Doo.
So, one of the Angels players, Nolan Shanuel. He's reached base in all 36 games he's played. It's a streak dating back to last season. That's pretty cool, man. You get called up to the big leagues, you're on base for every game that you've been called up. So Baltimore reliever Mike Bauman committed an error on a play last week, and it looked like an infield single. Well, they then changed it to an error.
Days later,
ending the streak. He then reached base again Saturday night, would have extended the streak to 37 games. Well, look, it is a cool thing, but it's not like he was Joe DiMaggio's hit streak here. It's an on-base streak. It's really cool. Don't get me wrong. Wayne Randazzo, though, the play-by-play of the Los Angeles Angels, he lost his mind when he heard about this. And he went on a rant so good about the state of Major League Baseball. I listened to it. I went, where's the line?
He expands a little bit.
Yeah, he does expand a little bit.
Negative story after negative story, scandal after scandal, a fiasco in Oakland. You have these ridiculous-looking jerseys. You have the MLBPA challenging the league about the pitch clock today because of constant pitcher injuries. And yet, not to mention your global superstar is embroiled in a betting scandal. But on top of all of that, you have a young player trying to make a name for himself who has come up and reached base safely in every single game that he has played. And the league allows this scoring change to go on to end his streak, kill this story, a positive story that's happening in Major League Baseball. It is an absurdity.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about all the positivity from all over the social media world, how it pressed everybody to start your career. He was this in college last year. He was still playing college baseball at this point. And then to have that taken away on a base hit. It was a base hit.
It was a clear hit. It wasn't even really a borderline call. It was a clear base hit.
Yeah, like I said in the pregame show, the NBA doesn't take an assist away from LeBron James. He's got a triple-double, and he's trying to add on that record.
Nolan Shanuel is LeBron James.
That's when I was like, who the hell are they talking? I was like, did Mike Trout do something that I missed?
I had to go back and look.
Because that's a fair comp,
sure.
I suppose.
I guess.
All right. I will look at this on both sides. usually when they go back and change something, it's from an error to a hit. It's like, hey, you know what? That, let's just give that a hit. Yeah, the fielder doesn't deserve an error. It was a tough play. Everyone's really happy except the pitcher, whose ERA might go up a tick. So usually it goes the other way. It's very unusual after the fact on a play that was not a routine play for them to go and change it from a hit to an error. That is unusual. But on the other side, I didn't know what was going on with Nolan Shanuel at all until this.
I didn't either.
He actually is getting more attention because they changed the rule.
You're absolutely
no idea.
Right. Which is why I had to go back and look. Who the F is he talking about? I have no clue.
So in a way, Major League Baseball has highlighted a young player much more than he was getting highlighted before by making this weird scoring change after the fact.
And you know, he's absolutely right. It's been a really rough start to the baseball season, not just for Padres fans. It's been a rough start for MLB as a whole. And this, you know, MLBPA filing, we're going to talk about this. We're going to save it, though, for tomorrow, because there's about an hour's worth of material to talk about this rash of injuries. And a couple of huge names went down over the weekend. You know, Strider for the Braves, they put him on the 15-day IL. I think we all know what's coming, right? I think we know what's coming.
Bieber.
I almost said it. Shane Bieber is out for the season. It's brutal. You know, Gerrit Cole is out. He's tentative for June.
He's rehabbing. Back, yeah.
But is he? We are so conditioned now for the rash of injuries in baseball for our starting pitchers. It is just a bad, bad look for the league. And there's a bunch of people pointing fingers, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. I mean, there's so much to cover on it.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today, thekrafttaco.com. All right, when we come back, we've got Saturday's win, 4-0. Nice performance, but still didn't add on offensively. And another painful 3-2 loss to discuss from Friday night as well, from the Padres weekend that was in San Francisco. And then we'll talk a little college basketball coming up as well with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam. We are 100 minutes into the show. I haven't even mentioned it's Masters Week yet.
That's very good. I don't think anyone wants to hear about it.
The discipline that I have shown.
Let's see if we can make it 300 minutes.
So far. Well, now it's over. I've mentioned that it's Masters Week. It's early. You know, I'll be fine for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
But I did want to at least get it on record that I am aware that it is Masters Week.
I mean, I think we all are. I'm ready too.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Of course.
But we want to talk some more Padres here, get into Saturday and Friday's games after we spent a good deal of time talking about yesterday's 3-2 loss to the Giants. We'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. What's baseball really like? Well, I mean, for us, it's usually sadness.
Yeah, painful.
Join former Padre and MLB All-Star Brett Boone and his big league friends on his podcast, The Boone Podcast. 3 days a week, Brett talks with Hall of Famers, fellow All-Stars friends, get their take on today's game and to relieve the greatest stories from when they played. Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Ken Griffey Jr., the list goes on and on. Tony Gwynn Jr. Follow The Boone Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So Padres did win one of the three games, of course, over the weekend.
Yes.
It was Saturday night when actually got a little lucky in the first inning on a blooper by Xander Bogaerts to start the game that was lost in the sun in center field. And ultimately, it led to a bases-loaded situation for Jurickson Profar, our good friend Jurickson, who pulled one down the line and just over that high wall inside the pole at Oracle Park for a grand slam. And that was it for the scoring as the Padres won 4-0. Michael King, 7 innings, 4 hits, 4 strikeouts.
Fantastic.
Really sharp performance by Michael King. And the Padres did get that win, although, again, they might not have had that rally without a little bit of good fortune, and they were not able to add on against Keaton Wynn, not exactly the ace of the staff for the San Francisco Giants either. So a good win, but also continuation of some of the same issues we've seen for the Padres dating back to last season.
I mean, what a, you know, great. I needed that swing from Pro so badly. That, Ben, was our only at bat with a runner in scoring position on the night.
One for one.
One
nice
for one.
Clutch. clutch team.
I mean,
batting a thousand.
We do not complain about wins, no matter how you get them. I don't care how you get them. As long as you get them, yes, you can look at that and go, what the hell happened after the first inning? And that's what everyone's kind of, you know, scratching their heads about with this team. It just, and I don't get the sense.
Now, Jackson Merrill hit a couple of really rope balls and, you know, Jung Ho Lee made a nice play diving into the wall. And, you know, I think he got, with the wind blowing, there was a couple that got knocked down. Yep. So that happens in San Francisco. It's not a great hitter's park.
It's definitely not a great hitter's park at all. That being said, if you want to pick that one apart, I don't get the sense that they're like, oh, cool, we can cruise now after four runs. I mean, I don't get that sense. I don't know that. You always know it, the other team's a couple swings away and the game gets really, really fast and you start to lose it. And we've seen that happen plenty to this team. But listen, it's a win. Michael King was great. Something to build off for him. Very, very happy about that dub. What else is there to say? And I think the highlight of the night for me was anytime we get the Korean call for a home run, it is simply the best audio that you will hear.
Well, remember, Ha Sung Kim set up that grand slam by drawing a nice walk to bring up Jurickson Profar in that situation.
Now, Jesse Agler doesn't get upstaged very often.
No, he doesn't.
But let's compare.
Profar, switch hitter, batting left-handed, swings at the first pitch, skies it deep down the right field line. Yastrzemski is back to watch. This one is gone! A grand slam for Profar! Tucked it inside the pole down the right field line, and Jurickson's first home run of the season is a big one. 4-0 here in the first.
You can tell Jesse got a little surprised that it got out.
We all did.
Because instead of his usual, gonna go! He kind of gave it a gone, like, whoa, I thought maybe too high, going to go foul.
Going to go foul. I definitely thought it was going to foul.
Neither of those things happened, and it stayed fair. First, Padres had their first Grand Slam, remember, last year. Gary Sanchez, August 15th.
Well, I hope that trend continues. At least I would like Slam Diego to live
a little bit
again.
Earlier this year on April 6th is better than August 15th.
Nice to cross that. You know, check that box.
Check that
now,
box.
How about a four-game winning streak, guys?
Yes.
How about a two-game winning streak?
I'll take a sweep.
Actually, they have 1-2. It happened with a week between the games.
Correct.
Yeah. But they do have 1-2-game winning
Correct.
Streak.
True. All right. Well, that was Jesse Agler. Here is the Korean call of Jurickson Profar's Grand Slam on Saturday.
Jurickson Profar 6번 타자. 속으로 당겼습니다. 오른쪽 높게 그리고 멀리 퍼퍼. 야! 릭슨 프로퍼의 그랜드 슬램이 터집니다. 스코어 4-0.
야, 프로퍼도 시즌 한 두 자리 정도는 칠 수는 있거든요.
네.
한방 보여줬어요.
와, 야, 지금은 말루 이후에 축구를 노리고 들어온 게 상당히 좋았던 것 같고요.
그렇습니다.
야, 1회 그랜드 슬램.
My favorite part is like you heard Jesse's, and it's Jesse. Jesse's making the call. The Korean broadcast is like, we're both going to talk. I'm going to talk, and you're going to talk.
Is there just two of them? Is there more?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But I think it's so fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it sounds at least three or four people.
Jurickson Profar, Grand Slam.
It's so good. Like, if you're, okay, so we have a program director, and every broadcast, Mud and Don have a boss, right? And I'm sure he's said to them before, hey, in the fourth inning, you guys just make sure you don't step on each other. Don's trying to read a liner. Make sure you don't step on that mud. Mud says, no problem. You're right. Whatever. You step on each other sometimes.
Yeah. Jesse and Tony are so polite about it. When someone even does a tiny bit, they'll like apologize on it. Yeah, oh, I'm so sorry.
Sorry about that.
I spoke when you were talking.
And so I'm wondering, do they have a boss that's like, hey, he's making the call?
Or is their boss just like, hey, do whatever you guys want.
Because like, all right, Ben, do some play-by-play for this home run, and I'll be his partner. You make the noises in the background. Hold on, one sec.
Ready?
I'm gonna, because like they just talk over each other the whole time. It's so good.
All right, here we go. Bases loaded. Here's the pitch to Profar. Swung on and driven deep and high down the right field line. Oh! Is it going to stay fair?
On your way into work, and you want to keep listening to us, even after
gone.
You park the car,
it's
the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com.
It's a grand slam for Jurickson. Profar.
You can just download the app or visit Odyssey.com. Search 97.3 The Fan.
Jurickson Profar.
And click on the show.
Rounds the bases.
Download the Odyssey app today to get started.
Offense in this game. They take the lead over the Giants.
Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for the 97.3 The Fan Roundtable. It drive you nuts. I love it. Just pure, unadulterated joy in that booth. It just murders me every single time. One guy's just reading.
They all have their own agendas. Just whatever's going on in there.
One guy's like, I had a really good weekend. It was really, really fun. Played some golf. It was great.
Yeah, good eagle.
It's good. Listen to the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
Download it. You can also use the rewind feature. 97.3 The Fan.
Jurickson Profar, grand slam.
It's amazing. I like the Jurickson Profar in Korean.
It's the same.
Jurickson Profar.
It's so good.
And what is grand slam? What's grand slam in Korean? It's just a grand slammy.
Jurickson Profar, grand slam.
So fantastic, dude.
Whoa!
So now every time I hear one of those calls, I'm going to be listening as a program
director.
That's
what Tony Gwynn Jr. does, too.
No,
he just does it really quick. This guy just goes, whoa! It's kind of a longer version of Tony Gwynn Jr.
It's my favorite. This is my favorite thing of all time. So, yes, Padres did win that game,
yes,
Benjamin.
But
it was
that
a dub.
After they lost on Friday night, another 3-2 loss, Dylan Cease was better even than his first start. 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. He was getting good swing and miss. And the Padres did more against Jordan Hicks than they did the first time around. They got him for 2 runs. He went 7 innings, 5 hits, struck out 5. I think what really drove everybody crazy in that game is that all 3 San Francisco runs scored on free passes. Well, 2 walks and 1 hit by pitch. The only 3 of the game. Giants didn't even get a run hit with a runner in scoring position, yet somehow found a way to win that game 3-2. They did what the Padres usually are unable to do, and they found a way to win a game that they probably did not deserve to win, just like they did yesterday as well.
That was the De Los Santos hits him 1-2.
Yep.
And
then Tyro Estrada had the walk-off double, which was a great relay, I thought, by Sugar and Ha-Sung Kim.
Yeah,
and
just a little late.
And just couldn't get Matt Chapman, who was running better than I expected him to be running. I thought with that relay, they had a really good chance to get him at home plate.
That's tough, dude.
There was the interference call on Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, it made
sense
to me.
In that game that cost the Padres a third run that would have been critical. And there was a lot of discussion. So Fernando was first and third. They just scored a run, and Jake Cronenworth hits what is a grounder to short. But with the runner on third and one out, if he beats it out at first, they're going to score that run. There's no way they're going to be able to turn two. It's just hit too slowly. Jake's too fast. And Fernando goes sliding into second base, straight into second, pops up, and as he's popping up, he kind of falls off the base and bumps into the guy at second. Now, it made no difference on the play at first. Jake was going to be safe.
Yep.
Either way, he could have not thrown it. He would have been safe. But because of the rules, the way they are written, if you make contact with the runner or with the thrower, the fielder, and you're not touching the base, then that's interference and it's an automatic double play. And it took a run literally off the scoreboard for the Padres. I saw some people, fans, mad at very mad at Fernando going, yeah, that's a flashy play. That's a selfish play. Like, just slide in there. The sad part is if Fernando had simply tripped halfway between first and second, the Padres have that extra run and they might win that game.
Yes.
But because he was going hard and hustling and getting up and, you know, he almost beat the throw at second.
He almost did.
I think he was kind of thinking, hey, I might be safe. I might need to start running to third here if I'm safe. So he was trying to pop up and keep going.
It was a poor decision by him in that, you know, in the moment he said, yes, I'm going, instead of just sliding hard through the bag, Crony's easily there. You score the run. He did the pop-up slide, which, again, I don't know that I've ever heard a pop-up slide as being called flashy. Like, that's not a flashy play, in my opinion. And I was having a hard time wrapping my head around that. It was just a poor decision. I mean, you didn't need to pop up.
No.
You didn't need to interfere.
No. Given perspective, yeah. Fernando would have
just
simply
go hard in the back.
Or just trailed off, you know, yeah, the other off. Shot and peeled off. And Padres score a run there and continue that rally. And unfortunately, the inning was over. The run was off the board. And because, once again, Padres couldn't add on to the runs that they had scored, it ended up biting them in the butt late in the game when the Giants rallied to tie it and then win it in the bottom of the ninth on the Tyro Estrada walk-off double.
And you look at, like, De Los Santos. I mean, he has the guy set up 1-2, goes in, hits him, and, you know, that's it. And it just finding ways, weird ways to fail at execution at the most opportune time, you know, at the most inopportune time, is just killing this team. You know, and Mike Schilt told us, you know, the attention to detail is something that he preaches. I haven't seen a ton of it, man. When you talk about some of the failed bunt attempts, the sacrifice bunt that you gave away and out last week with Sugar Up, it's not gelling just yet. And again, they're treading water. There's no question. Like, they're absolutely treading water. We feel like they should be 500 right now.
Or better.
But also, you look at how the offense is not performing really, Benny, and you go, I'm actually surprised we won this many. Honestly, like, we're getting back to the feast or famine days, and now the feasts are even getting fewer and far between.
You know, and I think Friday's game is connected with yesterday's game because of what real issue the Padres do have is the right-handed options in the bullpen right now are just not as solid as the left-handers. Now, each left-hander, Cosgrove, Matsui, and Peralta, have all had one outing where they just looked really bad. For Matsui and Peralta, they had the one where they couldn't find home plate and couldn't find a release point, and Cosgrove had the one where he gave up the six. But every other outing, they've all been really solid when they've come in. It's been much more dicey with the right-handers, and that is, Suarez has been pretty good, but, you know, outside of the closer, your setup righties, Brito, De Los Santos, Kolick's actually been decent, but again, the Rule 5 guy, he had one that didn't look great. And then there's Avila's, your long guy. It's just been, there's no right answer right now for Mike Schilt when it comes to the right-handers out of his bullpen.
Yeah, no question about it. And so you do wonder when there's going to be, let's talk a little bit, maybe next break, about the consistency of Mike Schilt. And is that a problem for the San Diego Padres? Because, you know, a couple of years ago when Tingler was here and he was juggling the lineup every day and people were losing their minds, well, the Dodgers ran out, 158 different lineups that year, and they won a ton of games. Like, what do we want? Do we want consistency or don't we want consistency from our skip?
We got some sound from Mike Schilt on that, on Jackson Merrill, and whether he's going to be moving up in the order. All that coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods. Got some NCAA talk as well. Do not go away. It's a Monday morning, an Eclipse Monday on 97.3 The Fan. 100 minutes into the show. I haven't even mentioned it's Masters Week yet.
That's so very good. I don't think anyone wants to hear
about it. The discipline that
now.
I have
Let's
shown.
Let's see if we can make it 300 minutes.
So yeah. Far. Well, now it's over. I've mentioned that it's Masters Week. It's early. You know, I'll be fine for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
But I did want to at least get it on record that I am aware that it is Masters Week.
I mean, I think we all are. I'm ready, too.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Of course.
But we want to talk some more Padres here, get into Saturday and Friday's games after we spent a good deal of time talking about yesterday's 3-2 loss to the Giants. We'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. What's baseball really like? Well, I mean, for us, it's usually sadness.
Yeah, painful.
Join former Padre and MLB All-Star Brett Boone and his big league friends on his podcast, The Boone Podcast. 3 days a week, Brett talks with Hall of Famers, fellow All-Stars friends, get their take on today's game, and to relieve the greatest stories from when they played. Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Ken Griffey Jr., the list goes on and on. Tony Gwynn Jr. Follow The Boone Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So Padres did win one of the three games, of course, over the weekend.
Yes.
It was Saturday night when actually got a little lucky in the first inning on a blooper by Xander Bogaerts to start the game that was lost in the sun in center field. And ultimately it led to a bases loaded situation for Jurickson Profar, our good friend Jurickson, who pulled one down the line and just over that high wall inside the pole at Oracle Park for a grand slam. And that was it for the scoring as the Padres won 4-0. Michael King, 7 innings, 4 hits, 4 strikeouts.
Fantastic.
Really sharp performance by Michael King. And the Padres did get that win, although, again, they might not have had that rally without a little bit of good fortune, and they were not able to add on against Keaton Wynn, not exactly the ace of the staff for the San Francisco Giants either. So a good win, but also continuation of some of the same issues we've seen for the Padres dating back to last season.
I mean, what a great I needed that swing from Pro so badly. That, Ben, was our only at bat with a runner in scoring position on the night.
One for one. Clutch. Clutch team.
I mean,
batting a thousand.
We do not complain about wins, no matter how you get them. I don't care how you get them. As long as you get them, yes, you can look at that and go, what the hell happened after the first inning? And that's what everyone's kind of, scratching their heads about with this team. It just, and I don't get the sense.
Now, Jackson Merrill hit a couple of really rope balls,
sure,
and, Jung Ho Lee made a nice play diving into the wall. And, I think he got, with the wind blowing, there was a couple that got knocked down.
Yep.
So that happens in San Francisco. It's not a great hitter's park.
It's definitely not a great hitter's park at all. That being said, if you want to pick that one apart, I don't get the sense that they're like, oh, cool, we can cruise now after 4 runs. I mean, I don't get that sense. I don't know that. You always know it, the other team's a couple swings away, and the game gets really, really fast, and you start to lose it. And we've seen that happen plenty to this team. But listen, it's a win. Michael King was great. Something to build off for him. Very, very happy about that dub. What else is there to say? And I think the highlight of the night for me was anytime we get the Korean call for a home run, it is simply the best audio that you will hear.
Remember, Ha Sung Kim set up that grand slam by drawing a nice walk to bring up Jurickson Profar in that situation.
Now, Jesse Agler doesn't get upstaged very often.
No, he doesn't.
But let's compare.
Profar, switch hitter, batting left-handed, swings at the first pitch, skies it deep down the right field line. Yastrzemski is back to watch. This one is gone! A grand slam for Profar. Tucked it inside the pole down the right field line, and Jurickson's first home run of the season is a big one. 4-0 here in the first.
You can tell Jesse got a little surprised that it got out.
We all did.
Because instead of his usual, gonna go, he kind of gave it a gone, like, whoa, I thought maybe too high, going to go foul.
Going to go foul. I definitely thought it was going to foul.
Neither of those things happened, and it stayed fair. First, Padres had their first Grand Slam, remember, last year. Gary Sanchez, August 15th.
Well, I hope that trend continues. At least I would like Slam Diego to live
a little bit
again.
Earlier this year on April 6th is better than August 15th.
Nice to cross that. Check that box.
Check that
now,
box.
How about a 4-game winning streak, guys?
Yes.
How about a 2-game winning streak?
I'll take a sweep.
Actually, they have 1-2. It happened with a week between the games.
Correct.
Yeah. But they do have 1-2-game winning
Correct.
Streak.
True. All right. Well, that was Jesse Agler. Here is the Korean call of Jurickson Profar's Grand Slam on Saturday.
Jurickson Profar, 6번 타자. 속으로 당겼습니다. 오른쪽 높게 그리고 멀리 퍼퍼. 야! 멈췄어요. 주릭슨 프로파의 그랜드 슬램이 터집니다. 스코어 4-0. 야, 프로파로도 시즌 한 두 자리 정도는 칠 수는 있거든요.
네.
한 방 보여줬어요.
와, 야, 지금은 만루 이후에 추구를 노리고 들어온 게 상당히 좋았던 것 같고요.
그렇습니다.
야, 1회 그랜드 슬램.
My favorite part is like you heard Jesse's, and it's Jesse. Jesse's making the call. The Korean broadcast is like, we're both going to talk. I'm going to talk, and you're going to talk.
Is there just two of them? Is there more?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But I think it's so fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it sounds at least three or four people.
Jurickson Profar, grand slam.
It's so good. Like, if you're, okay, so we have a program director, and every broadcast, Mud and Don have a boss, right? And I'm sure he's said to them before, hey, in the fourth inning, you guys just make sure you don't step on each other. Don's trying to read a liner. Make sure you don't step on that. Mud says, no problem. You're right. Whatever. you step on each other sometimes.
Yeah, Jesse and Tony are so polite about it. When someone even does a tiny bit, they'll like apologize on it. Yeah, oh, I'm so sorry.
Sorry about that.
I spoke when you were talking.
And so I'm wondering, do they have a boss that's like, hey, he's making the call?
Or is their boss just like, hey, do whatever you guys want.
Because like, all right, Ben, do some play-by-play for this home run, and I'll be his partner. And you make the noises in the background. Hold on, one sec.
You ready?
Because they just talk over each other the whole time. It's so good.
All right, here we go. Bases loaded. Here's the pitch to Profar. Swung on and driven deep and high down the right field line. Oh! Is it going to stay fair?
On your way into work, and you want to keep listening to us, even after you park the car,
it's
the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com.
For Jurickson and Profar.
You can just download the app or visit Odyssey.com. Search 97.3 The Fan.
Jurickson Profar.
Click on the show.
Rounds the bases.
Download the Odyssey app today to get started.
In this game, they take the lead over the Giants.
Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for the 97.3 The Fan Roundtable. It drive you nuts. I love it. Just pure, unadulterated joy in that booth. It just murders me every single time. One guy's just reading.
They all have their own agendas. Just whatever's going on in there.
One guy's like, I had a really good weekend. It was really, really fun. Played some golf. It was great.
Yeah, good to go. Oh,
good. Listen to the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
Download it. You can also use the rewind feature. 97.3 The Fan.
Jurickson Profar. Grand Slam.
I like the Jurickson Profar in Korean.
It's the same.
Jurickson Profar.
It's so good.
And what is Grand Slam? What's Grand Slam in Korean? It's just a Grand Slammy.
Jurickson Profar, Grand Slam.
So fantastic, dude.
Whoa!
So now every time I hear one of those calls, I'm going to be listening as a program
director.
That's
what Tony Gwynn Jr. does, too.
No,
he just does it really quick. This guy just goes, whoa! It's kind of a longer version of Tony Gwynn Jr.
It's my favorite. This is my favorite thing of all time. So, yes, Padres did win that game,
yes,
Benjamin.
But
it was
that
a dub.
After they lost on Friday night, another 3-2 loss. Dylan Cease was better even than his first start. 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. He was getting good swing and miss. And the Padres did more against Jordan Hicks than they did the first time around. They got him for 2 runs. He went 7 innings, 5 hits, struck out 5. I think what really drove everybody crazy in that game is that all 3 San Francisco runs scored on free passes. Well, 2 walks and 1 hit by pitch. The only 3 of the game. Giants didn't even get a run hit with a runner in scoring position, yet somehow found a way to win that game 3-2. They did what the Padres usually are unable to do, and they found a way to win a game that they probably did not deserve to win, just like they did yesterday as well.
That was the De Los Santos hits him 1-2.
Yep.
And then
Tyro Estrada had the walk-off double, which was a great relay, I thought, by Sugar and Ha-Sung Kim.
Yeah,
and
just a little late.
And just couldn't get Matt Chapman, who was running better than I expected him to be running. I thought with that relay, they had a really good chance to get him at home plate.
That's tough, dude.
There was the interference call on Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, it made
sense
to me.
In that game that cost the Padres a third run that would have been critical. And there was a lot of discussion. So Fernando was first and third. They just scored a run, and Jake Cronenworth hits what is a grounder to short. But with the runner on third and one out, if he beats it out at first, they're going to score that run. There's no way they're going to be able to turn two. It's just hit too slowly. Jake's too fast. And Fernando goes sliding into second base, straight into second, pops up, and as he's popping up, he kind of falls off the base and bumps into the guy at second. Now, it made no difference on the play at first. Jake was going to be safe.
Yep.
Either way, he could have not thrown it. He would have been safe. But because of the rules, the way they are written, if you make contact with the runner or with the thrower, the fielder, and you're not touching the base, then that's interference and it's an automatic double play. And it took a run literally off the scoreboard for the Padres. I saw some people, fans, mad at very mad at Fernando going, yeah, that's a flashy play. That's a selfish play. Like, just slide in there. the sad part is if Fernando had simply tripped halfway between first and second, the Padres have that extra run and they might win that game.
Yes.
But because he was going hard and hustling and getting up and, you know, he almost beat the throw at second.
He almost did.
I think he was kind of thinking, hey, I might be safe. I might need to start running to third here if I'm safe. So he was trying to pop up and keep going.
It was a poor decision by him in that, you know, in the moment he said, yes, I'm going, instead of just sliding hard through the bag, Crony's easily there. You score the run. He did the pop-up slide, which again, I don't know that I've ever heard a pop-up slide as being called flashy. Like, that's not a flashy play, in my opinion. And I was having a hard time wrapping my head around that. It was just a poor decision. I mean, you didn't need to pop up.
No.
You didn't need to interfere.
No. Given perspective, Fernando would have
just
simply
go hard in the back.
Or just trailed off, you know, the other side and peeled off. And Padres score a run there and continue that rally. And unfortunately, the inning was over. The run was off the board. And because, once again, Padres couldn't add on to the runs that they had scored, it ended up biting them in the butt late in the game when the Giants rallied to tie it and then win it in the bottom of the ninth on the Tyro Estrada walk-off double.
And you look at, like, De Los Santos. I mean, he has the guy set up 1-2, goes in, hits him, and, you know, that's it. And it just finding ways, weird ways to fail at execution at the most opportune time, you know, at the most inopportune time, is just killing this team. You know, and Mike Schilt told us, you know, the attention to detail is something that he preaches. I haven't seen a ton of it, man. When you talk about some of the failed bunt attempts, the sacrifice bunt that you gave away and out last week with Sugar Up, it's not gelling just yet. And again, they're treading water. There's no question. Like, they're absolutely treading water. We feel like they should be 500 right now.
Or better.
But also, you look at how the offense is not performing really, Benny, and you go, I'm actually surprised we won this many. Honestly, like, we're getting back to the feast or famine days, and now the feasts are even getting fewer and far between.
You know, and I think Friday's game is connected with yesterday's game because of what real issue the Padres do have is the right-handed options in the bullpen right now are just not as solid as the left-handers. Now, each left-hander, Cosgrove, Matsui, and Peralta, have all had one outing where they just looked really bad. For Matsui and Peralta, they had the one where they couldn't find home plate and couldn't find a release point, and Cosgrove had the one where he gave up the six. But every other outing, they've all been really solid when they've come in. It's been much more dicey with the right-handers, and that is, Suarez has been pretty good, but, outside of the closer, your setup righties, Brito, De Los Santos, Kolek's actually been decent, but again, the Rule 5 guy, he had one that didn't look great. And then there's Avila's your long guy. It's just been, there's no right answer right now for Mike Schilt when it comes to the right-handers out of his bullpen.
Yeah, no question about it. And so you do wonder when there's going to be, let's talk a little bit, maybe next break, about the consistency of Mike Schilt. And is that a problem for the San Diego Padres? Because, you know, a couple of years ago when Tingler was here and he was juggling the lineup every day and people were losing their minds, well, the Dodgers ran out, 158 different lineups that year and they won a ton of games. Like, what do we want? Do we want consistency or don't we want consistency from our skip?
We got some sound from Mike Schilt on that, on Jackson Merrill, and whether he's going to be moving up in the order. All that coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods. Got some NCAA talk as well. Do not go away. It's a Monday morning, an Eclipse Monday, on 97.3 The Fan.